From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. We'll remember how the late Reverend Gene West helped smuggle some funk into church. First, evidence from the trial for the murder of former Navy SEAL and American Sniper author Chris Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield. Defendant Eddie Ray Routh spoke of insanity, anarchy, and the apocalypse when police tried to arrest him after the shooting deaths. In video footage provided by Lancaster police, jurors heard Routh ask officers, "Is voodoo all around us?" upon arrest. Jacob Smith is a sophomore at Tarleton State University in Stephenville. He called the timing of the trial unfortunate.
With the movie just being released and Chris Kyle Day being about 2 weeks ago, it just seems to be kind of, you know, got to everyone's heartstrings, and I just think that almost lays a little bit of bias with anyone.
Smith said he believes Kyle and Littlefield are local heroes, but that Routh should get a fair trial no matter what crime he's committed. Court testimony resumes today. Reverend Gene West died at the age of 78 last week. He was one of the founders of the band The Relatives. They were an unknown West Dallas group that faded in the early 80s, only to reunite and gain national acclaim the past 5 years. Jerome Weeks has this appreciation.
In a 2012 interview, Gene West explained how The Relatives, the gospel group he started with his younger brother Tommy, had limited performing options in the 70s.
We were really afraid to go in church. We didn't know how they were going to accept it.
What they might not accept was The Relatives' music. It may seem safe enough now, but this was still too down and dirty for many churches then. The Wests had grown up with traditional gospel. Back in 1959, Gene West was touring with groups like the Mighty Golden Voices. But when the West brothers started their own group around 1970, they mixed gospel with funky dance floor rhythms. The Reverend Tommy West explained why.
We wanted the younger generation, giving them something, you know, put a little funk behind it. And we came up with that beat.
But a split remained between the spiritual mission of gospel and the commercial radio world of rhythm and blues. So in the early 70s, when the Relatives played the Bronze Peacock Club in Houston, it was possibly their big break. Club owner Don Roby was a pioneer in both gospel and R&B. Roby had his own record label and managed dozens of artists like Clarence Gatemouth Brown and the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And Roby liked Gene West's voice.
God's gift!
That was it. That was what Gene West called the squall, and during their show at the Peacock, he let it loose. He said he was inspired, he jumped into the orchestra pit, but then he couldn't get out.
I was down there, boy, I was squalling in the pit, man. So that Monday, we went back in the Peacock, and when we walked in the door, Don Rover said, "Why don't you let me make that squall you got famous in R&B. I said, "Oh man, I can't do that." At the time I was preaching. He said, "Don't you want to eat?" I never will forget that.
Don't feel sorry for any lost chance at stardom. Roby, who died in 1975, was never charged with anything. But he was notorious among musicians for claiming royalties for songs he didn't write, even for resorting to outright violence. He reportedly once shot at Little Richard. In any event, by the early 80s, the Relatives broke up. Then, in 2000, Austin DJ Noel Wagner heard a single the Relatives had released.
I was floored. It's a gospel record that sounds like early funkadelic.
Gene and Tommy West were found ministering to tiny congregations in West and South Dallas. Their old session tapes from 1974 were dug out and released in 2009. These were guys in their 60s and 70s playing old-school funk with religious fervor. But joined by members of Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears, the Relatives were playing Austin City Limits. They played France in Lincoln Center and released a new album in 2013. But in October last year, Gene West's heart and kidney troubles were so serious, a fundraising campaign was launched online to pay his bills. He was still recording another album with the group on January 26th, but he died in Parkland Hospital February 4th. Back in 2012, West was asked what he felt about this belated discovery, this reunion. He was amazed at their luck. Then he corrected himself. No, it was not luck.
It was really a miracle. And I believe this was all in God's hand.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
A wake for Reverend West will be held tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. at West Dallas Community Church. A homegoing service begins there tomorrow at 11 a.m. The Dallas Citizens Council is a group of the most powerful business leaders in town that shaped the modern city. It also became a lightning rod of criticism for people who felt powerless. For decades, this was an all-white, all-male club that epitomized the establishment. In this week's Friday Conversation, President Alice Murray talked with Vice President of News Rick Holter about where the council stands now.
Alice Murray, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about some of the issues you've focused on. I know healthcare has been one of the main priorities, and you've taken what some people might consider a pretty surprising stand. You think Texas should expand Medicaid and accept tens of billions of federal dollars. Why?
It was decided that this is really the only economic position that a group of well-meaning businessmen could take. We have over a million Texans who are uninsured through no fault of their own. Our hospitals underwrite billions of dollars of uninsured Texans in our hospitals. Parkland alone had $762 million in uninsured care in 2013. That's $200 million more than the entire County of Dallas budget.
Let's talk about the Trinity River Project. This week you wrote a column for the Dallas Business Journal, and the final line was, let's get on with it. There's been so much criticism of this idea over the years. There was even a funeral, I think, last year in Oak Cliff. Is it realistic to think that this could happen now?
Oh, absolutely. People believe that we've been dragging our feet to get it started, and we haven't at all. We have never stopped working towards getting the final record of decision handed down by the Federal Highway Administration. So there's been no dragging of feet, only, you know, one decision or one step forward, two steps back, and things that we have to do to get to this record of decision by the Federal Highway Administration. And now, for about the last 6 months, we've known that it was coming early spring this year. So that is what has stirred up the grassroots again, thinking, oh, they're back alive. Well, we never really weren't alive. The funeral, you know, which made the papers, that funeral was attended by 85 people. That doesn't really represent 1.5 million people of Dallas, and that's okay. I mean, they should be heard too, but there are thousands and thousands of people who believed when they voted on this that their vote meant something. So we have been given the mandate now twice to do it, and we need to do it.
Part of the plan, though, is to have parks right next to that roadway in some cases. Are people really going to take their kids to a park that has a 6-lane highway right beside it?
Oh, it's not right beside it. This is a very wide valley. So the park is designed to be closer to the west side, and there will be opportunities to pull off this road and ride your bicycle. Otherwise, nobody knows it's there. So the road really provides the eyes on that park.
I'm curious, does the history of the Dallas Citizens Council make your job more difficult? I'm particularly thinking of its reputation back before the Kennedy assassination. It was all white, all male. It had a reputation for not kind of tamping down and cracking down on what a lot of people called right-wing zealotry back then. Does that make your job tougher?
Well, I don't want an easy job. Anybody can do an easy job. Their reputation, depending on how you want to tell the story, was about getting things done. That's the only reason that they formed the Citizens Council in the 30s. They wanted the top CEOs that had the power of the pocketbook to write checks, and that was not a diverse group of people in Dallas or in the South. So we've become more diverse, and we, especially at the board level, insist on that diversity. We don't want to be opaque. We just thought we were literally doing things the most effective way by doing it quietly and not having anybody thank us. We're just trying to get it done. Everything was for making Dallas the best globally competitive city it could be. There was never anything sinister. If you don't respond to the stories people tell about you, they get to tell the story.
Alice Murray, president of the Dallas Citizens Council, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Rick.
Sunny skies, a high of 65 ahead of us today. It's 40 degrees now in Dallas, 38 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.